Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tanis daf Yedalad. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf of the Len Lezef and Ishmael Fellows Lupin Zaltzman. We are on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Okay. Yesterday, the Gemara, most of the yesterday's daf was dedicated to the discussion of what kind of bathing is allowed on a Tanis seaboard. The Mishnah brought down that when you get to the second series of fasts, just a quick synopsis, it stops raining in Eretz Yisrael, or it didn't start raining in Eretz Yisrael, so there are three sets of fasts that are set up. And now, in addition to that, there's also the Yechidim, there's also individuals who have to fast as well, but after the individuals fast and nothing's happening, nothing's changing, so then there are three sets of fasts that are set up. They're what's called the Gimel Rishonos, they're the first three fasts. Remember, when we say three, we mean Monday, Thursday, and Monday. And then there's three Gimel Amsayos, and then the middle three fasts, and then the Sheva Achronos, and then the seven fasts at the conclusion. And that's it. After that, there's no longer any fasting. And actually, today we're going to have a discussion in the Gemara. Why no more? Why do we stop after 13? If it's not raining, why not keep fasting? We're going to have that discussion later today, and we're going to offer two explanations of why that is, why that should be. But in the meantime, however, as we learned, when you get to the later fasts, so you ratchet it up a little bit. In other words, obviously it's getting more desperate. Times are getting more desperate, and so we need to get more serious in our davenings and in our fast days. So the Mishnah pointed out that when you get to the latter fasts, so there's going to be not only an isser of not eating and drinking, but also other isurim as well. All the other inuyim that generally speaking we connect to Yom Kippur are going to be enforced during these later Tanit Zibors. So that means no bathing, no anointing, no marital relations, no wearing of leather shoes, and also the Mishnah pointed out no work. There's a work stoppage as well during those days of fasts. So that's those things are added to the fast. And yesterday's daf really dedicated itself to the bathing, the prohibition of bathing. So basically, the conclusion of yesterday's Gemara was that if the motif of the day is the Tanit Zibor, so then you're not allowed to bathe in hot water, but you're allowed to bathe in cold water. If the motif of the day is Avelus, like an Avel, or like Tisha B'Av, where the theme of the day is Avelus, even though in Tisha B'Av it's also a fast day, right? Tisha B'Av is kind of like a hybrid. It's got two themes to it. It's a fast day. And it's Avelus, but the Gemara basically in this regard puts it more in the camp of Avelus, so therefore you're not allowed to bathe at all, neither in hot water nor in cold water. And that the Gemara says that's the halacha. That was the Gemara's conclusion yesterday. Okay, we are in the Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the Amud. I said two dots. Two dots if you put two dots there. There are no two dots, but it's a new topic of discussion. Okay, fine. If you want, you can put two dots there. It's Lusa de Tanisa. Okay, we're right in the middle of the Amud on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Lusa de Tanisa Hechemit Karinan. So the Tefillah of a fast day. Tefillah of a fast day. What's the Gemara referring to over here? So Rashi says Aninu. Okay, all those who remember Slichos. Okay, it's been we inserted into the fast days, but. Right, if you remember Slichos from your Rosh Hashanah, from your Elul days, so you'll know that one of the main highlights of Slichos is Aneinu. Okay, I know at that point in time in Slichos we're like, I'm speaking here for the Ashkenazim. Your format's a little bit different. I don't know how yours works out, but by Aneinu already, that's the end of Slichos. But the Gemara assumes over here that Aneinu is a highlight.
Yours is in the middle.
Okay, ours is toward the end. The Anenu is a highlight of Slichos, and that's really the Anenu Hashem Anenu, Anenu Lokenu Anenu, Anenu Avinu Anenu. So where is that inserted? Now that's one Anenu. Now there's another Anenu which we insert into Shomei Tefillah. In other words, if you take out a sitter and you look at don't look at Shacharis, but look at Mincha, so you're going to see that there's another Anenu that's inserted. It's a Tefillah Anenu. We ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to please help us. So it's Lusa de Tanisa Hechemat Karinan. So where do I put an Anenu? So we're not talking about the Anenu Hashem Anenu that we say in Slichos. That we're going to discuss later this morning. We're talking about the Anenu that we place in Shomei Tefillah. But I already gave away some of the answer. The Gemara wants to know, where do we put it in? Hechemit Karinan. So Adab Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Berei Vidarish. So Rav Yehuda was walking together with his son Rav Yitzchak. And he told him, Yachid Shekibalav Tanis Mispal Shal Tanis. If an individual accepted upon himself a fast, so he's Mispal Shal Tanis, so he davens like it's a fast day. V'heichen Omra, And where do you insert Anenu? Bein Goel Lerofe. So you insert it between brachas number 7 and 8 of Shmoneh Esrei. Right? Goel Yisrael is bracha number 7. Rofe Rifaenu was bracha number 8. So you put it between 7 and 8. Between, what does that mean? Between? It means that Anenu becomes its own bracha. So, right, correct. So you're gonna be adding a bracha to Shmoneh Esrei. So this is what Rav Yehuda tells his son. So when you accept upon yourself a fast, so you're going to say Anenu, and you're not going to put it in Shomei Tefillah like what we do. But again, we're working with, you know, with a sitter. But let's assume that we don't know anything. So the Gemara says, as Rav Yehuda says, you put it between brachas number 7 and 8. So Rav Yitzchak says, but I don't understand. An individual makes an extra bracha in Shmoneh Esrei, meaning an individual does not have the power nor the authority to add another bracha in Shmoneh Esrei. So Elam Rav Yitzchak b'Shomei Tefillah. So Rav Yitzchak says that no, it doesn't go as its own bracha, but rather you put it in the bracha of Shomei Tefillah, much like what we do. V'cheinam Rav Sheshes b'Shomei Tefillah. And Rav Sheshes also says b'Shomei Tefillah. Meisve, the Gemara challenges his position. So again, the discussion on the table is when we have a fast day and when we're davening Shmoneh Esrei. So where do we insert Anenu? So right now, the Gemara has a machlokas, whether or not we put it as its own self-standing bracha, that's Rav Yehuda's position, or we make it its own separate bracha, or we insert it in the Shomei Tefillah. Meisve, the Gemara challenges Ein Ben Yachid Letzibar L'Shazem Espal Shmoneh Esrei V'Zem Espal Chasrei. So the difference between a Yachid and a Tzibor, those are terms which we're going to define in just a moment. The only difference is that the Yachid davens 18 brachas, and the Tzibor davens 19 brachas. Now, by the way, just a word, I'm sure you've figured this out already, but let me just spell this out. Right? The Gemara constantly refers to Shmoneh Esrei as Shmoneh Esrei, which isn't that strange because we do as well. But so it's not that bizarre. But as I'm sure everyone knows, Shmoneh Esrei is really comprised of 19 brachas, not 18 brachas, but the 19th bracha, Lamal Shinim. So that was added in at a later point in time. Rabbi Gamliel, his Beis Din, added in the 19th bracha. So even though in Shmoneh Esrei is 19 brachas, but we call it Shmoneh Esrei, the Gemara refers to Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, that's just a point of clarity. So the individual, when he davens on a fast day, he'll say 18 brachas, and at Sibor will say 19 brachas. That's the brisa, period. Now, my yachid and my tzibor, an important clarification. What does it mean when it says yachid? What does it mean when it says a tzibor? Ilem yachid mamish v'tzibor, shliach tzibor. So what do you want to tell me? That the yachid is a reference to an individual, and the tzibor is a reference to the shliach tzibor. Okay, that's what you would like to suggest. The Gemara says, but that's not true. Hani chasrei esim v'arabahavu. We will learn later in the Masechta. We haven't seen this yet. This will come up in the second parak. That when you have a tzibor saying Shmoneh Esrei on a fast day, the Shliach Tzibor saying Shmoneh Esrei, he inserts 6 additional brachas in the Shmoneh Esrei. We will talk later on in the Masechta with detail in terms of what exactly those 6 additional brachas are, but those are 6 additional brachas. So why would the Braisa be throwing out the number 19 if we're talking about the Shliach Tzibor, the number should be 24? So Hachi Kamer, the Gemara says, good point. So this is what the Braisa must mean. Ein ben yach dekabal av tanis yachin, le yachin shekibo alav tanis zibor, el shezem ispal shmoneh esrei v'zem ispal chasrei. So it must mean that the Braisa is not talking about the shliach zibor. The Braisa is talking about an individual accepting upon himself a fast, and it's just the difference is the nature of the fast that he accepted upon himself. If he accepted upon himself a tanis yachin in an individual fast, that was the Kabbalah that he made upon himself. So then he davens a regular 18 brachas, Shmoneh Esrei, regular Shmoneh Esrei. But if he accepted upon himself a Tanit Tzibor, meaning that's the nature of the fast that he took upon himself, so then he'd be making a 19th bracha in Shmoneh Esrei. 19th bracha Shmoneh Esrei, what are we talking about? So presumably we're talking about the bracha of Anenu. If this is all the correct shot in the Braisa, so then what comes out now is that the Anenu is not inserted in Shomei Tefillah, but rather it's its own self-standing bracha, which would then seem to support the position of Rav Yehuda and not the position of Rav Yitzchak. Shma mina, yachi kovei bracha la'atzmo. So that's what it seems like if we're right in our explanation of the braisa. The Gemara says, lo, la'olam em lacha shliach tzibor. No, And we'll say that's talking about the Shliach Tzibur. Udikakashlach Shliach Tzibur asked me Arba Matzlei. So the Gemara says, and what was the problem by suggesting was the Shliach Tzibur? Shliach Tzibur is not going to say 19, he's going to say 24. Begimel Taniyos Rishon, so like Esrim Varba. So the Gemara says, well, what we could suggest is that we're talking about the first three. The first three in the series of fasts. Remember, it's 3, 3, and 7. The first three in the series of fasts. So that the Shliach Tzibur does not add the 6 additional brachas. Those 6 additional brachas in the Shemona Esrei that's added is only in the later fast, but not in the first series. The Lek Esrim V'Arba. So the Gemara says V'lov V'ha Ein Bein Ketani. So the Gemara says that's the why. Let's take a look at the following brisa. Ein bein gimel rishonos gimel mseyos ela shebeila mutarim basias malacha ve'ela asurim basias malacha. The brisa reads that there is no difference between the first three and the second three, except for the first three you're allowed to go to work, and the second three you're not allowed to go to work. Halachav dal zeves hashavim. So the Gemara says. So what does that imply? It's pretty clear implication. When the brisa starts off with the words ein bein means there is no difference except for, and it spells it out. The only difference is the malacha. So now that means that vis-a-vis everything else, they're going to be the same. Halachav dalav zeves hashavin. So the Gemara's diuk is a very simple diuk. That means that you're going to be saying not a Shemona Esrei, but you're going to say chavdal. You're going to say 24 brachas in both. And so that means then that the pshat that we suggested doesn't seem to work. We suggest the pshat is that for the first three, we're not davening 24, we're davening only 19. But now we have this brisa, and the brisa doesn't seem to say that. So Tanavishayer, so the Gemara says, well, maybe the brisa didn't give all the differences, maybe just gave an example. Here's but one difference between them, but there are others as well. So the Gemara says, Tanavishayer, Maishayer Dehashayer. So first of all, the Gemara says, look, you can argue that we only gave but one example when there are many other examples. Meaning, sometimes the Mishnah and the Braisa gives a sampling of differences between A and B. But you can only argue that if there are many other differences. If there's only one other difference between them, so then that's a very poor argument. It's a weak argument that the Braisa gave one difference and there's one other difference. Well, if there's one other difference, then the Braisa should have articulated it. And furthermore, Vesu Ayin Ben Ketani. And not only that, but another very simple question, which is, the Brisa reads Ein Bein. What do the words Ein Bein mean? This is the only difference. So it doesn't even fit into the words of the Brisa. So the Gemara says, okay, granted, both points are very good points, but it could very well be that the Brisa was only coming from the perspective of Isser. The do's and don'ts of a fast day. Mostly the don'ts. Right? But the don'ts of a fast day, the Isurim. So vis-a-vis the Isurim, there is no difference between the first three and the second three, except for Isur Malacha. But vis-a-vis everything else, all the Isurim are the same. Then, and once you talk about another topic, meaning let's say, for example, davening, there may be other differences. The Brisa was only just committed to discussing Isurim. That's one possibility. Or another possibility would be maybe the chavdalid you don't say during the second three. Meaning, maybe the brisa is to be taken literally. There really is no difference between the first three and the second three except for Issa Malacha. What about davening Shemona Esrei? Maybe now the Gemara is proposing that on both the first three and the second three, it's only 19 brachas. It's not 24 brachas. So the Gemara says, "V'hatanya im ben gimel shnios l'shev achronos ela shebeila masrim v'nolan sachanios." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but now we have to deal with another brisa. The brisa over here now contrasting the second three and the last seven. The only difference between the second three and the last seven is that on the last seven masrim, which we're gonna translate later this morning, and noalan sachanios, and we close the stores." So that means then again, that vis-a-vis everything else, they're the same. Now we know for sure that for the last seven, 24 brachas of Shemona Esrei. That's a given. So now the assumption would be that just like there's 24 for the last seven, 24 brachas for Shemona Esrei, there's also going to be 24 for the middle three. So again, the argument you might want to present over here is Tana V'Shayer, that the Brice only gave but an example, a sample of differences. There may be other differences as well. So the Gemara says, V'ha Ein Bein Ketani. So again, the Gemara says it just doesn't fit into the language of the Brice. The Brice says Ein Bein. V'tizbra Ein Bein Dafka. V'Ashayer Teva. So the Gemara says, well, look, don't take Ein Bein so literally, because we understand that there is going to be a major, there's another major difference that the Brisa didn't mention, that's Teva. What is Teva? So again, we haven't seen yet in the Gemara, it's coming up later on in the Masechta, right? If you take a look at Rashi, the top Rashi in Yudala Madalef, Rashi writes, the Bachronus, Isa Vahachalesa, Kedekan Lakaman, Seder Tanius Ketsan, Motsina said Teva. We take the Aron out of the shul, and we're going to put it in the middle of the street. Okay, and it's going to promote more intent and more kavana, and it's gonna hopefully inspire people to daven even harder. And that's done during the last seven. That's not done during the middle three. The Brisa didn't mention that. So when the Brisa says Ein Bein, it's understood that Ein Bein is not to be taken super literally, because we know there are other basic differences. The Gemara says no. Imishum teva lav shiuruhu mila detzina katana mila debefarasi lo katana. So the Gemara says again, I don't know. Meaning the Ein Bein could be taken literally. What about the fact that the Brisa didn't mention teva? The Brisa was just dealing with tzina, things that are done privately on the fast days of the last seven, right? With Masrian, which we haven't even defined what that means yet. We close the door. We close the stores. Lock the stores. No one can go ahead and purchase food. Meaning the Brisa was just dealing with the things that deal with you and me. But the public action of taking a teva and putting it out in the street, the Brisa just wasn't dealing with that. So Amar Avashi Masisa Nami Deka. You take a look at our Mishnah, and our Mishnah is Meduyak. Tiktani Ma Elu Yisera Salvishanos El Shebe Elu Masriyam V'Nol Asir Chanios. So in fact, if you take a look at our Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah we saw on yesterday's daf, the Mishnah says that what's the difference between the middle three and the last seven? Well, the difference is that in the last seven, Hasra'a and Noal Nesachanios, and we lock the stores. And again, presumably that means that vis-a-vis everything else, including the Shemona Esrei not being 18 brachas but being 24, it's going to be the same. So the Gemara says, and perhaps again, Tana V'Shayer, the argument of, well, the Mishnah wasn't giving all the differences, it was just giving some of the differences. But again, it doesn't read well into the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says the words Ma'elu. Ma'elu seems to indicate these are the differences. V'tizbra Ma'elu dafkahu v'hashayi la'teva. And again, the Gemara comes back to the argument of, well, the Mishnah didn't mention Teva, taking the Aron and bringing it out into the street, which is a notable difference between the middle three and the last seven. Imishim teva lav shiuruhu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but teva, no, that's the fact that the Mishnah didn't mention that is not much of a question, because mishim dekachashiv le beidach perka, because teva is coming up in the later perek, meaning our perek is dealing with fasting, stopping the work, not bathing. Teva, that's coming up in the next parak. It's not shaykh to mention teva in our parak. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? That point is excellent, and let's actually go with that point. Meaning, let's keep our prakim separate. Meaning, our parak is dealing with the yisr of achila. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to bathe. Right? You're not allowed to wear leather shoes. Our parak is dealing with the yisurim in terms of davening. And the Aron, that's coming up in the second parak. So the Gemara says, you know what? The fact that our Mishnah doesn't mention, it may be true that there's a basic distinction between the middle three and the last seven. Vis-a-vis davening, it just happens to be not the topic of our parak. So, okay, so therefore, what the Gemara therefore has done is basically inconclusive. Meaning, we do have statements in the Brisa that describe that there is no difference between the middle three and the last seven. And we know in the last seven, it's not Shemona Esrei, but rather it's 24 brachas. And presumably that means that during the middle three, it's also going to be 24 brachas. The Gemara says, inconclusive. Why inconclusive? Because our parak, the first parak of Tanis, is just dealing with the Yisurim. It's not talking about davening. We're not having a discussion now about davening. Davening's coming up in the second parak. There may be a difference between the middle three and the last seven vis-a-vis davening, and the fact that our Mishnah doesn't indicate that, it doesn't have to. It's not the right place. The right place and right time to discuss davening is going to be in the second parak. So the Gemara says it's inconclusive. So therefore, where are we right now? Back to our original question. Our original question was, when an individual is davening Shemoneh Esrei, so does he say 18 brachas and include Anenu? Not the Anenu of Slichos, but the Anenu of what we'll call Shomea Tefillah. But the Anenu of Shemoneh Esrei, does he include it in the bracha of Shomea Tefillah, or does he make it its own independent bracha between Gol Yisrael and Rifayinu? That was Gemara's question. We had so far in the Gemara two opinions, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yehuda maintains that it's a self-standing bracha. Rav Yitzchak says you incorporate it into Shomea Tefillah. The Gemara spent a considerable amount of time trying to use the Mishnayos and Braisos to make a case. The Gemara ended up inconclusive on that matter. My Havila, so the Gemara says, let's try to arrive at a conclusion. I'm Rav Shmuel Bar, start Tai, V'chein Amari B'chia Bar Ashi, Amarav, Bingo L'Rofe. So the Gemara presents one opinion, that it's between Bracha 7 and 8, V'Rav Ashi Amar, Mishmei D'Rabbi Yana, B'Rei D'Rabbi Shmuel, B'Shomei Tefillah. And the Gemara presents another Amara who says it's in the Bracha of Shomei Tefillah, V'Hilchasa, B'Shomei Tefillah. And the Gemara comes to conclusion, a resolution, which is not a resolution, but a conclusion that it's in the bracha of Shomei Tefillah. Okay, good. The Gemara is very clear that on a non a Tanit Sibor, not on a public fast day, but on a Tanit Yachid, on a private fast day, or we could also add to that as well the first three of the series of fasts. So we are going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anenu, please answer us HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this fast day. But it's not going to be a self-standing bracha, but rather it's going to be inserted into the Shomea Tefillah bracha. Okay, Tinichada. Ubros Menikos Mesanos Berishonos Vein Mesanos Bachronos. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we begin, okay, we're going to read three short braces in a row. But before we begin, okay, so a woman who is pregnant, a woman who is nursing, so obviously is in a more delicate state of life, and generally speaking, she obviously fasting for her would be difficult. Needless to say, but obviously, well, let's say it. If it poses a risk to her, to the baby, so then she doesn't fast. A risk of life. But if it's just a question of discomfort, under certain circumstances she should try, and under certain circumstances she shouldn't even try. And so basically now what the Gemara is going to be discussing is we have now three sets of Tanios coming in a year of drought. So the first three, the middle three, and the last seven. And basically the issue that we're going to be discussing now is, if at all, should a pregnant or nursing woman fast during these fasts? Again, we're obviously talking about where it's posing no risk to the life of the mother, to the baby. So should she do it? So, ubros omeinikos mis'anim b'rishonos v'enim mis'anim b'achronos. Okay, so, braisa number one is that she should fast during the first, but not during the last. Tanya irach mis'anim b'achronos v'enim mis'anim b'rishonos. Second braisa, she should fast during the last, but not during the first. And now we have another braisa that says not the first and not the last. Okay, so everyone confused? There's a simple solution that will answer every braisa. Am Ravashi nakod emtsiasa biadecha dimitartzinan kulu. So Ravashi says, just a brilliant answer. All three braisas are correct. And what does the braisa mean? It's during the middle three that a woman should fast. Meaning not during the first three, not during the last seven, but during the middle three, a pregnant or nursing woman should fast. Now, if you take a look back at all those braisas, so I'm just paraphrasing Rashi, I'm not reading Rashi inside. So all of that, all the braisas now work. When the first braisa says that she fasts in the Rishonos and not the Achronos, that's talking about two and three, set two and set three. Meaning, set two is called Rishonos relative to the last set. The last set is called the Achronos. So relative to the last set, the middle set now are called the Rishonos. She'll fast in the Rishonos, but not the Achronos. Now look at the next braisa. The next braisa says, She'll fast not in the Rishonos, but she will fast in the Achronos. That's set one and set two. Good. Set one, she won't fast. Set two, she will fast. And that last Brisa, she won't fast in the first and the last. It's talking about set one and set three. Set one and set three, she won't fast, but set two, she will fast. Wonderful. Okay, but that only leaves us but one question, and that is, why? Right, why will she be fasting not one, not set one, the first three, but yes, set two, and not set three, the last seven? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here addresses this issue. So Rashi says that the... So, look at the last couple lines of Rashi. Dibra Maschal Nakor Mitzias Biadecha. Rashi writes, "Ein Mesanim Behem Delo Takif Rogza Kulehai." So she won't be fasting the first three because Akash Baruch Hu's anger is not that great yet. Meaning, it's right. I understand gauging Akash Baruch Hu's anger, but basically you get the sense that in the first three, like the rain is coming late. But it's not yet a total calamity. We're not ready to sound the major fire alarms, meaning let's get everyone to fast. But women who are in a more delicate state, they're pregnant, they're nursing. So for the first three, they get a pass. Good. Next three, now obviously it's getting more serious. We're deeper into the season. It's not raining. So now, pregnant nursing women, I know it's going to be difficult for you. I know you're in a more fragile state, but... It's obviously getting more serious, so you should fast. What about the last seven? So now the argument should be that the last seven, they should fast as well. So Rashi says, that's too difficult. Aval b'sheva achronos lo mis'anu. I'm moving back in Rashi. Rashi over here is I'm in the middle of the same Rashi. Dekevin d'sheva ninu lo matzi obros l'manikos l'mekam b'hu. So Rashi says, as far as the last seven is concerned, in theory they should, because obviously... The danger now is even more threatening. It's the drought is becoming more serious, but it's seven fasts. It's seven successive fasts. Again, successive meaning Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, but still. It's Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday. And she's pregnant. She's nursing. So not because it's not serious. It's obviously more serious, but because it's just too onerous for her to fast those last seven. So that's how Rashi understands it. So again, the first three, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger is not yet that serious. The middle three, because it's getting more serious. The last seven, no, because it's going to be too hard for her. Well, there are three brises, meaning I don't know. Meaning there just are. But in terms of looking at all three brises, and they're at odds with one another, so Rav Ashi came out with a very elegant solution to how to deal with all three brises. Okay, we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah over here contrasted the middle three and the last seven. The middle three are already more serious than the first three. And the last seven are even more serious. How so? So the Mishnah tells us two manifestations of how the last seven are more serious than the middle three. The last seven are more serious than that. Masrian. Okay, we're about to translate that word, and we close the stores. No one lets. Okay, so first things first, let's translate. My Masrian. So the Gemara now wants to know, what do we mean? There is Masrian. What does that word mean? So already you look at the word, and you can see the word Shrua inside. So maybe what the word Masrian means is blowing a shofar. Rav Yehuda says exactly that. Rav Yehuda Omer Bishofros. Meaning for the last seven, what we do is we blow in the shofar. Okay, just as a technical point, shofar may be somewhat inaccurate, right? The Torah says that when Bishat Sara and Eitz Sara in a time of need, so you're right, you blow in the chatzotzra, so you blow in the trumpets. So the Gemara over here employs the word shofar to describe what matrian means, but it could be that the Gemara was just being somewhat imprecise in the way it describes. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Bishofros, Hayosin Asros, Velashan Asra, Kamo Trua. So Rashi says that the word Asra is same as the word Trua. Vistam Trua, Pshut Lofanel, Achareb, B'Masechas Rosh Hashanah. Rashi reminds us what we learned back in Rosh Hashanah, and that is when we say Trua, of course we mean by that it's a broken sound, but it's going to be bookended with a Tkia. So it's Tkia, Trua, Tkia. And Rashi quotes the pasuk in Parshas Baloscha. which, again, just as a technical standpoint, it may be a trumpet, not a shofar. Token b'shofar is kadesh yachniu libam l'kol shofar v'yu nir ta'im mechatasam. And Rashi explains, you'll see the same language in the Rambam as well, purpose of blowing in the shofar, it alerts us, right? It subdues us. It makes us realize perhaps there are things in our life that we need to correct, right? And Rashi then points out, when are we blowing the shofar? The ashesh brachos ayu mosifim bayom atanes ayu token al kol brachu yevava acha shehein yudches asraos. So Rashi says that we're blowing the shofar during the Shmoneh Esrei. Now remember, it's the last seven, so it's not Shmoneh Esrei, it's 24. And specifically, we're blowing the shofar during the six additional brachas that we're adding in the Shmoneh Esrei. Now when we're blowing, remember, each blast is tkiah trua tkiah. We'll count that as three. Three times six. It gets us to 18 times we're blowing on the shofar on these fast days. Okay? So that's shita number one. In the Gemara, when the Gemara says that during these last seven Masriyan, so what does that mean? We're blowing on the shofar. Rav Yehuda b'Rei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei d'Rav, and then Rav Yehuda, right, not to be confused with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was the first shita. Second shita is Rav Yehuda b'Rei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei d'Rav. Okay, so Amar be'anenu. He says that what we're going to do is we're going to say anenu. Okay, now let's say it. Anenu over here is a reference to the anenu of slichos. Right? Well, we, in our slichas, anenu Hashem anenu, anenu lokenu anenu, anenu avinu anenu, that's what's added in on these last 7 days. That's what the word masriyan means. Rashi says it's not referring to the anenu of Shomei Tefillah, that we're going to do in every fast day. We're talking about the anenu of slichos. Now, kasa gadach aman damar b'anenu lama b'shofas aman damar b'shofas lama b'anenu. At first, the Gemara tells us that we thought that the two positions over here are mutually exclusive. The one who says anenu doesn't hold of shofar, and the one who says shofar doesn't hold of anenu. But the Gemara says, but that's simply untenable. We learned in a brisa, ein polchas and misheva taniyos al tzibur shemhen yudches asraos v'simal nadava yiricho. There are no less than seven fast days on the community, which turn into 18 blowings of the shofar. And just to make sure that you realize that we're talking about shofar, so we'll invoke the word Yericho. Yericho is telling us that we're talking about shofar. Right? Remember, Yehoshua, shofar, surrounding. Okay, we're good. So, v'yericho shofar tava. And just to make sure that we know what the Gemara understands, the Gemara tells us Yericho is obviously dealing with shofar. So, it's a brisa. And the brisa clearly articulates that during the seven fasts we're blowing shofar. So, v'tiyuf t'laman d'amra ba'aneinu. And the one, and the Amor who said Anenu, well, if the Amor said Anenu, well, he can't go against the Braisa, and the Braisa says Shofar, Ela b'shofar z'kulei amalo pliga d'kari le'hasra. So the Gemara says, okay, it's got to be. It's got to be that Shofar, that the Hasra is a reference to Shofar, and everyone's in agreement that we're going to be blowing Shofar during these last seven fasts. Ki pligi ba'anenu. The only machlokus is, whether in addition to shofar, we're also saying anenu. Marsaver karele hasra, marsaver le karele. I'm sorry, marsaver lo karele hasra. Does that fit in with the word hasra? Hasra, is that anenu? That's the debate. Laman damar b'anenu kol shekem b'shofar, laman damar b'shofar tavah b'anenu lo. And then the Gemara just clarifies: if you hold it's shofar, meaning it's only shofar, not anenu. And if you hold anenu, it means anenu together with the shofar. V'hatanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa of Ishar Kol Minei Paranios and Mizrach Shos Kigon. The Gemara says, not only are these fastings going to be instituted for drought, but for other major communal suffering. For example, chichuch. Chichuch literally means scratching. So apparently some sort of rash, itch has plagued the community. Chagag zvuv tzira v'yitushim. An infestation of grasshoppers or bugs or wasps or whatever, right? Bugs, shiluch nechashim va'akravim, snake scorpions, lo yumasrin elat soakin. So on these, lo hayumasrin. That's the key word in this brisa, elat soakin. So we wouldn't do hasra'a, but we would sow it. We would scream out. Now mi mitzaka bepas rabbi shofros. Now the contrast is very simple. Tzaka clearly means with our mouth. So what does Hasra mean? Shofar. So now, seems pretty clear that the word Hasra is a reference to shofar. So if it's another type of calamity, not a drought, but anything mentioned in the Braisa, so we'll do Tzaka. But it seems pretty clear that the word Hasra means shofar. So Tanahi, the Gemara says, okay, I hear you. The Braisa certainly is going to be difficult, but I have another Braisa. Tanya, we learned on another Braisa, Alei Lamasrim B'Shabbos. Al Irshi Kifu Agayas Onar V'Alsfina Hamutir Efes Bayam. On these things, we're going to be Masriin on Shabbos. I was about to say shofar, and I would have been incorrect. On these things, we're Masriin on Shabbos. A city that's besieged, a river is overflowing, and we're looking at a potential flood. The boat is shifting in the water. The Tanakhama says Hasra, and Rav Yossi Amar Lazar v'lo latzaka. And Rav Yossi says, look, it's Shabbos. We shouldn't petition the Kadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos. If you want to call for help, that you can do. If you want to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos, that you can't do. I'll read Rashi in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, the Bryce over here says that on Shabbos, we're Masriin. The Gemara says, Bamai. Now, when we says Masriin, what does that mean? Elan b'shofar, shofaros, b'shabbos, mishari. We're not blowing a shofar on Shabbos. Meaning that's not even open for discussion. You remember back in Rosh Hashanah, the fourth parak, what did we learn? That they did away with shofar on Shabbos, even though it's a mitzvah in a Torah to blow shofar. So over here, we're not even open for discussion. We're not going to be blowing shofar on Shabbos. So when the Braisa says the word Masriin, so what does that mean? So Elalav ba'aneinu, v'kar le hasra, ashma mina. So it's aneinu, and it's called hasra. So you see that the author of this Braisa does feel that the word Masriin can be used for the word aneinu.
But the shofar on Shabbos is baked in.
Okay, right. Correct. Under certain, agreed. There are certain times when shofar is allowed. But again, just the basic idea that under most circumstances we're not going to do it. The Gemara says it's not even open for discussion. If it's a public need, we're not going to be blowing shofar on Shabbos. Gemara says it. I mean, it's the okay. Can we just go back for a moment? Meaning that Shita of Rabbi Yossi, what an interesting Shita. Rabbi Yossi says that if it's on Shabbos, and even though we're facing a calamity, you want to call out for help, that's fine, but you don't daven. Look at Rashi. It's so interesting. Rashi writes the last Rashi in the Amud. V'lo litzaka. So, tefillah she'ein anu betuchim kol kach she'toel tefillasenu litzok aleim b'Shabbos. So Rashi says, look, because on Shabbos we're going to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may or may not be received, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He'll hear the tefillah, but he's going to answer in the positive. You're not sure, and so therefore, it's so interesting. Shabbos, obviously, Shabbos is the day of rest. Shabbos, it's not an appropriate time to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even if there is a pressing need, but who knows if you're going to get answered or not? So you know what Rav Yossi says? don't daven on Shabbos. Meaning. Specific request on Shabbos. Don't petition on Shabbos, and if you need to call for help, you call for help. But otherwise, no. That's one pshat that Rashi offers in Rav Yossi. Now, to be fair, Rashi does give another pshat, right? I'm still in the Rashi. Amat tzakas pek kari asra mipi mori lishna achrina. Now, Rashi does offer another pshat. Lazar de kamar tanakama masrin de mashma bekol ram. Va'amalei Rav Yossi lazar shi mispalim kol echa beveiso la'azar ba'alma. So in the second pshat, Rashi says that the word Azara doesn't mean calling out for help, but Azara means you'll ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we won't do so publicly. We won't make a public tefillah on Shabbos. Everyone can do so privately, but we won't do so publicly. That's another pshat in the Gemara. It comes out then not as dramatic as the first pshat, that you can we have a pressing need on Shabbos. You can ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but privately, not publicly.
For communal.
Okay. Yeah. Right. We know on Shabbos, I mean, they took out the middle brachas in Shmoneh Esrei because, right, the personal requests are not appropriate for Shabbos.
Because there's still like 40 days, and we also say Aneinu in the middle of the year, there's still like 40 days.
Right.
And you blow the shofar, but the shofar that you blow, it's not during the Aneinu, you blow it for during the others.
You're giving me those. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. The Gemara over here is talking more about a Tanis, right? The Slichos is Okay, well, it's not, not exactly the same. All right, let's go on. Yeah, correct. The Gemara, that's exactly the Gemara's point. The Gemara's point, it's not, you want to call a steerer, that's fine. The Gemara's point is that the two brises are not in agreement with one another. One brisa reflects that the word hasra is a reference to shofar, and the other brisa says, no, hasra means with our voices. Okay, so, correct. So the reason why the Gemara did that is just simply to present to us that the machlokas amarayim is in fact reflected amongst the brisa as well. Okay. Bishnei de Rav Yehuda Nesi'a v'tza'ara. The years of Rav Yehuda Nesi'a, we know Rav Yehuda Nesi'a, grandson of Rav Yehuda Anasi, so there was a tsar. It wasn't a drought. Gaza tlasis reitanios velo yane. Okay, so it was something bad was going on, a communal catastrophe, and so he imposed 13 fasts, and he was not answered. The community was not answered. So, savar lemigzar tfei. So Rav Yehuda Nesi'a said, okay, more. All right, let's keep going. Now, our Mishnah describes 13 and no more than 13. But our Mishnah is speaking specifically about a drought. Rav Yehuda Nesi'a, the Gemara doesn't give us any detail, but was dealing with another communal calamity. So he thought, now let's go beyond 13. Amalei Rabbi Ami, Hare Amrei, Matrich Nesesibar, Yosem Yidai. So Rabbi Ami says to Rabbi Yehuda Nesi'a, aren't we going too far? Meaning the community just fasted 13 fasts. Meaning anything more than that is onerous. I'm Rabbi Abba, Bered Rabbi Chia, Bar Abba, Rabbi Ami da'avid legarmehu da'avad. So he makes an accusation. I'm a little bit tentative as I explain the Gemara over here, but I'm just going to say over Rashi, Rabbi Ami was self-serving in his position. Meaning Rabbi Ami didn't feel that this was an actual halachic point that he was making. He simply didn't want to fast anymore. Right? If it was, let's take a look at Rashi. Ligarmei le'atzmo darash. Shalom amar el lefi shalom haya rotza lisanos. He just simply didn't want to fast anymore. And so therefore his position that he was arguing was not a halachic position. It was a more of a self-serving position. Okay, I'm super uncomfortable, but it's, you know, it gives a selfish motivation, and obviously that does not make me comfortable, but that's the Gemara. So Elahacham Rabbi Chabar Abba Rabbi Yochanan Loshanu Ela Likshamim Aval Lasharmin Epuranius Mesan Vaochin Ad Shianu Menashamayim. So the Gemara says, look, Rabbi Yochanan says the idea that we stop at 13, that's for drought. We stop at 13. But if it's another communal calamity, and we fasted 13 times in a row, and it has not been averted, you keep going. Tanya Mihachi, the Gemara quotes a brisa that supports this as well. Kisham Rushalashu, Kisham Rushevalo Amru Ella Ligshamim. Avalashar Mine Puranis, Mesan Valachinachiano. When we say 3, we say 7. 3, 3, and 7, we say 13. So that's the cap is only for drought, for lack of rain. But if it's for any other calamity, you keep going. So So now what do? We quoted Rav Yochanan. We quoted a Braisa. They both are going against Rabbi Ami. So now can we at this point say Rabbi Ami's position is simply not tenable? So the Gemara says, no, it's machlokas tanai. Ein goes in Yosem Mishal Shasrei Taneos Alatsiba Lefisha, Ein Matrichan Esasiba Yosem Midai. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi actually states this position as well. Rabbi says, excuse me, Rabbi says that you will fast 13 fasts, communal fasts, and after that no more, because it's just simply too onerous. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amar Lo Min Hashem Uzeh, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says to Rabbi, no, we stop at 13, but specifically for a drought we stop at 13. Why? Mimnei She Yatzos Zman HaShel Revi'a. Very simple. Because after 13 fasts have come and gone, there's just simply no point in fasting anymore. Meaning, why are we fasting? Because there's no rain. Once 13 fasts have come and gone, so how many weeks have we now covered? It's simple math, although haven't done it yet. But it's
but it's not consecutive because you got to go from.
Understood. So, right. In other words, I just got to sit down with a calendar. I should have done this before the daf. You sit down with a calendar, and it works out to whatever. 7 weeks. Okay, about 7 weeks. The point is that after 7 weeks are over, after the 13 fasts are over, there's just simply no reason to fast anymore. Meaning we missed the rain. It's over. The season's over. Now, granted, it's still the winter, right? We're somewhere in the middle of the winter. We still hope that there's rain, but we miss the Yoreh. This is Rashi's explanation. We miss the Yoreh. We miss the early rain. It's fallen, right? Which is Yiddish, and I'm not sure what that means, but it's over. It's done. Meaning there's no point in fasting anymore. So what do you see in this Braisa? The Braisa over here actually reflects the debate in terms of why the Mishnayos here in Tanius caps at 13. Either A, Rebbe's position, because beyond 13 it's just too onerous, or B, it's specific to a drought, because a drought, there's no point in fasting anymore after the 13. The Yoreh season is officially over, and if it would help, we would continue, but it's just simply a lost cause. That's the machlokas. And now the Gemara says, now we go back to Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, and each position actually now is tenable. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, it was another calamity, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was thinking maybe after 13, maybe we should keep going, keep imposing communal fasts. And Rabbi Ami says no, and the truth now is that Rabbi Ami's position is a tenable position. Huh? Yeah, so right. So that's why, right, and the Gemara's accusation earlier, meaning that's a very serious accusation. Right. I don't know. Meaning and now that you know that he does have a leg to stand on, yeah, correct. I don't know. That's Shachle b'nei Ninveh l'Rebbe. The Jewish community of Ninveh, and that's a funny sentence, right? The story of Yonah at that time, there was no Jewish community in Ninveh. But okay, diaspora. The Jewish community of Ninveh asked Rabbi the following question: Anandafil b'tzkufas tamas bina mitra hechin avid. Now our seasons don't exactly work like Eretz Yisrael. We need rain in the summer. Okay, tamas, middle of the summer. Right, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz is coming up, Shabbos. First day of Rosh Chodesh. So we need rain in the summer here in Ninveh. So what do we do? Ki echinim daminan o ki rabin daminan. So how do we look at ourselves? As a community or as individuals? Now what's the difference? Ki echinim daminan v'shamei tefillah o ki rabin daminan v'virchas hashanim. So what should we do? Should we say v'sein talamata l'vracha in the ninth bracha of Shmon Esrei, because it's a communal need, and just like in Eretz Yisrael in the winter season, you add v'sein talamata l'vracha. Here in Ninveh, we need rain in the summer season, so therefore we should have v'sein talamata l'vracha, or ki echidim. Ki echidim damisu uveshomei tefillah, or we like individuals, and therefore we should. We should ask for rain, but in the bracha of Shomei Tefillah. Okay, Meisve, Rashi points out over here, it's pretty obvious from the Gemara's question. Rashi makes this point very clear that communal needs should be inserted into the middle brachas of Shmoneh Esrei, and personal individual needs should be added to your Shomei Tefillah. Okay, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, you got to take a look over there. It's not totally clear that distinction is unanimous, but it's from our Gemara, it certainly seems that that's the case. Meis for the Gemara, we're going in the Gemara, continuing in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Eimas Abizman Shashanim Kitiknam Yisrael Shuriyam Alad Masam. Aval Bizman Hazdeh. Rav Yehuda says, but nowadays, Hakol Lefi Hashanim, Hakol Lefi Amakamos, Hakol Lefi Azman. Rashi takes out those last three words of the Braisa, but everything is based on the years and everything is based on the place. Meaning that in Eretz Yisrael, they need to rain in the winter. So you say, v'sein talamata l'vracha, in the winter, not in the summer. But wherever else you are, you ask based on the season. Amrle, masisa remisa la de Rabbi, Rabbi Tanu Upalit. So the Gemara says, okay, look, you quoted a Braisa. I'm quoting Rabbi. Rebbe equals a Braisa. Rebbe can argue against the Braisa. So my Havilah, so the Gemara says, okay, conclusion. Rav Nachman Amar B'Birchas Hashanim, Rav Sheshes Amar B'Shamei Tefillah. So the Gemara brings them Machlokas Amaraim, Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes. The Gemara's conclusion is you should say it in Shomei Tefillah. In the bracha of Shomei Tefillah, you should add a special petition for rain if you need rain in the summer, but don't change the nusach of the ninth bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. Keep it at the same bracha. Well, this is not a question of fasting. This is a question of a need for rain. And
what
is
fasting for the rain now?
The community of Nineveh was just asking. No. The community of Nineveh was just asking.
Fast and just pray.
They wanted to know summertime is when we need rain. Can we daven for rain in the summertime?
But the thing is that don't they have this whole criteria that if you're not getting rain there?
That may be another issue as well. But they were just some of the simple pshat in the Gemara. They were just asking about when's the appropriate time to daven. That would seem to be their question. And then I was reading on one of the notes on the daf. It was very interesting. Meaning over the course of years. Meaning Jews moved all over the world. Jews moved into the southern hemisphere. Right. So I've heard. At least my mother tells me. So obviously over there everything's inverted, right? Their summer is winter, their winter is summer, and so over the years, right, the question just keeps popping up again and again over the centuries, like in Australia and any southern hemisphere country, like should you switch the Saint Talamatla Vracha and the Mashiv Aruach over to the summer as opposed to the winter. So a lot of that discussion is based on this Gemara that we just read. So some say that, look, what did Rebbe tell the people, the Jews of Nineveh? Don't change your Shemoneh Esrei. You need rain, you'll ask for in Shomei Tefillah, but don't start switching around from Saint Talamata Levracha to the summer. So some say that based on our Gemara, you don't change Shemoneh Esrei. Some make a distinction between Nineveh, an entire Jewish community in a country. Okay, anyway, that's obviously beyond the scope of the daf, but it all comes from this Gemara right here.
What if
they keep it the same.